Let me just briefly give you an update of what's taking place in Nicaragua. As our dear brother said, it's been in turmoil, actually. The more correct term is that it's been in civil war since May of this year. For a very, very quick background, the straw that broke the camel's back, because things have been progressing for a number of years, but the thing that broke the straw that broke the camel's back was the fact that the president and some of his close-knit people took from the Social Security and pension fund of the country $500 million. Nobody knows, or if, well, I shouldn't say nobody, it's not been reported why they took it and what it was used for. But in a country like Nicaragua that's got 6 million people, you take $500 million from the Social Security pension fund, it makes a dent. Well, to cover the tracks, they passed a reform through his 100% Sandinista Congress, and it was 3 points. One, now that you have to work longer before you become eligible to claim your Social Security. Two, you're going to get less now per month. And three, you pay back to the government 5%. Now, we think in terms of 5% over the span of a year. No, each, the way it was explained to me, each time the recipient, after this reform took place, received their monthly check from the government took 5% of that right off the top. So, in actuality, over the course of a year, a person would actually pay back to the government 60%. Now, let that sink in for a bit. Well, that was what started all the demonstrations. And therefore, the president paid people to go in to these peaceful demonstrations to create a riot situation, to cause him to give an excuse to call out the riot police, in which his wife, who is the vice president, said, "Fire on the people that's there." Because they're the riot police and the military are the only ones that have any kind of arms. When he took power in 2006 for the second time, he did two things, the president did. And that was, he rewrote the Constitution so that he could be president for life. And the second thing was that he took all their guns from the citizens, so they have no way to protect themselves. Only the military and only the police are the ones that legally can own firearms. Okay? So when the riot police came in and the military came in and they opened fire on these innocent people, they were just dropping them. One young man, 15 years old, was shot simply because he was carrying water to the protesters. And that's the situation the country's been in since May. Now, in September, well, let me back up. In May 23rd, from May 23rd until roughly the first part of September, the president himself has taken from the Central Bank of Nicaragua $500 million, or roughly $500 million. Well, that has put a strain on the banks in Nicaragua. So, September the 17th, they enacted what was called a resolution called Berta Dos, which gave the government the right to go into your individual, if you were a Nicaraguan, I would say, okay, to go into your individual bank account, as well as a corporate business bank account. And if you had dollars in there, they would take your dollars from you and replace it with the national currency, which the exchange rate is not good for them, okay? As well as the value of their currency is just in a free fall. Well, that created a situation where the people ran to the banks as quick as they could to draw what money they could, to the point that now they're saying that in November the banks in Nicaragua will be bankrupt. When a country's banks go bankrupt, that's not a good situation. The second thing is that he has announced that in November he's going to stop the payment of Social Security completely. And so with those two things involved, it's just another pressure cooker The tensions are high amongst the people. The Sandinistas, they have their people throughout the country that just randomly and indiscriminately stop people. They rob them. They search them. If they find anything that they feel is incriminating, then you go to jail. Just the very fact a Nicaraguan having a symbol of the Nicaraguan flag on them, whether it's on a notebook, whether it's a picture on their iPhone or their cell phone, a flag in their car, that's grounds to send them to jail. Because this whole incident, the president and his party has named it a domestic terrorism incident. And the Congress of Nicaragua passed an act that gave the police the right to, on the report of just one individual, to go to a person's house and be the judge, jury, and executor at that moment. Someone makes a phone call and says, hey, my neighbor, they're a domestic terrorist. Boom. Police goes there, and they, at that moment, they'll decide either to take them to jail or kill them. You can see where this is going, hopefully. It's creating a lot of tension amongst the people. It's creating that which is creating a lot of fear in people. But there's always the good side, right? Aren't you glad of that? I mean, look at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's straightforward, isn't it? Okay? And the reason why it's death is because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. But that's not the end of the verse, is it? Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're saved here this morning, say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. The good side of all this is that God's work is still thriving. In spite of all the fear, in spite of all the stuff that's taking place, in spite of the fact that people know, just all it takes is the word of one person. They can be accused of being a domestic terrorist. They can be taken off the jail. They could be executed right there in their home. They're not afraid to serve Jesus. Amen. Church work in Mapiari has done very well under the national pastor of Jonathan Lopez. The new work that we started before coming back in February this year has done well also. People have been saved. And that is the part I like to focus on. Amen? Because God again proves that no matter the situation in life, His work will still go on. Because His work, though He uses us, in essence, isn't dependent on the world situation for it to thrive. Right? God's work is not dependent on how well things go in the United States for His work to thrive. What does it depend on? It depends on you and me. If the ministry of Community Baptist Church is going to thrive, it's not going to thrive simply because in the United States we have freedom of religion. No, it's going to thrive because we as individuals, God's people, understand what I want to bring to you this morning in the words of Christ to His disciples, that the work will thrive if we capture this one thought that to me is essential and is really the essence of what we term as the Great Commission. Okay? Because you see, we're very familiar with those verses, aren't we? Everyone knows what Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We know that, right? How many have heard a sermon on that? Yeah? Okay. How many know Mark 16:15? Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. How many have heard a sermon on that verse? Okay? How many know what Acts 1:8 says? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world or the earth. How many heard a sermon on that? Okay? But I want to draw your attention to John 20 and verse 21. Because this is one verse that in my study of the Scripture captures the essence of all those verses that we just mentioned. Even what was mentioned in Luke 24:47, that this gospel of repentance should be preached unto all nations. And Jesus starts off with the words here in John 20:21. He says, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Jesus meeting with his disciples here behind closed doors because of fear of the Jews here after his resurrection. He speaks to them when he first appears and he says, "Peace be unto you." And then he says, and he's breathed on him and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit," or "Receive the Holy Ghost." But then he says again, "Peace be unto you." And the essence here that, first of all, as he stated to them in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." Can anybody deny that? No. In this world you will have tribulation. But he said, "Be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. I've overcome the world." Peace be unto you then, congregation of Community Baptist Church. Because if you're saved, you have a Savior that's overcome the world. Peace be unto you, congregation of Community Baptist Church, because as He has given us the Word, then we can go in His strength and in the power of His might. Peace be unto you, congregation of Community Baptist Church, because we have the Savior who is peace. Amen? In Him we have peace. Therefore, in the Scriptures, throughout Paul's letters, Paul uses these words, especially in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Okay. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding." Okay. And he said that the peace of God will rule and reign in your hearts. So Jesus calming his disciples again, but also giving them a message that you can go and do what I'm about to say to you because I'm with you and you can have peace in your hearts doing so. But then the greater message of this is in the final words of this verse where he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." If you don't remember anything else of what I'm about to say through the word here this morning, remember this. Jesus is not asking us to do anything that He Himself has not already done. Jesus is not like a boss, a CEO, or someone in authority position that says, "Hey, just do as I say, not as I do." Right? Jesus is not that person in authority that says, "Hey, I want you to do this. I don't know how to do it, but you do it because I told you to." No. Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, as I came into this world in obedience to the will of my Father, that's how I want you to go." Capture that this morning. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that He Himself has not already done. Jesus is saying, "I first gave you this example. Now follow it. You want to go and make disciples of all nations? Then do it by my example. You want to preach the gospel to every creature? Do so by my example. You want to be a witness unto me in all the earth? Then do so by my example. Because I have given you that by which you need to do so in my peace and in my strength." Because you see, if we feel that what was mentioned in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 47, Acts 1, 8, are these grievous burdens that the Lord puts upon us, then we've lost and we've not captured this essence here, that what Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Therefore, in actuality, and listen carefully here, in actuality, though we say these are commands of the Great Commission, they're actually a personal request from Jesus for us to follow His example. They're actually a personal request for you and me and others to do what Jesus said, I've already done. So, how was Jesus sent into this world? He said, my Father sent me. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So how was Jesus sent? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 1, and let's start in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for us a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. First of all, Jesus was sent as light. Jesus was sent as a illumination in a darkened world. How long did the Jews go without a word from God, without a prophet, without a message from God? 400 years. And then one starry night, to humble shepherds out in the field, light, the sky just becomes ablaze with what? The angel host announcing the birth of a king, singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And God thought it was so important that to announce the birth of His Son, it wasn't just one angel that made the announcement. Oh yes, it was initially the one that told the shepherds, but afterwards the sky was filled with all the angelic hosts announcing and singing this glorious announcement that light had come into the world. Isaiah even prophesied, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great what? Light. Oh, Jesus came forth as light into this world to reveal what through this light? Well, not only the condition of man, but to reveal the Father. And He was light, and John bore witness of that light. What are we in this world today? You think it is by just coincidence that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world? You think it's coincidence that Jesus said of Himself, I am the light of the world? He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life? John 8:12. Oh, of course not. It is not by coincidence that Jesus told the people there on the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Are you getting it? Huh? Jesus came into this world to light as light, to illuminate the person, to reveal to them their need of salvation. We are sent as light in this world to reveal Christ to the world, that through His Word, they can see their need of salvation. You, with who you know, with whom you know, and with those you are in contact with daily, may be the only light that they see in this world. And I've said this in many places, and I may have said it here, but if I have, please permit me to repeat it. The importance of that is this. No matter your age, no matter where you go to school, no matter where you work, where you live, you know and come in contact with people that your pastor will never meet. And it's easy for a congregation to say, well, we pay the pastor. It's his job to grow the congregation. It's his job to make sure that people get saved and such. But if he never meets those people you know, those family members you know, how then are they going to know about Jesus if you don't shine as light to them? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How else was Jesus sent? John chapter 3. All two verses that are very familiar, but please open your heart to them this morning. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He, say it with me, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus was sent also by His Father to humanity. He was sent to people. That's why Jesus could say that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus could say, those who that are well, don't they have no need of a physician. He said, I have come to those who are sick. But it's interesting, and it's always wonderful how God does things, that the very next verse after John 3:16, which is the most popular verse throughout the entire world, Jesus continues to say, for the Son of Man came not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He was sent to humanity, and if there ever lived an individual who had the right to condemn people, it was Jesus. Why? 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made righteous of God in Him. He lived a life without sin. In fact, Hebrews 4:15 tells us these words. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but one who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was sent to humanity, but not for the reason of pointing a finger and saying, condemned, condemned, condemned. No, but He was sent to humanity to show the Father and to reveal the Father to them so that through that they might be saved. You see, that's what, in conjunction with light, it does. Light reveals things, does it not? Jesus revealed the Father in so much that He said, I'm not here to condemn you. I just want to see you saved. How easy is it for us to get puffed up, to look our nose down, look down our nose, or to, no, I'm not going to get involved in that. It's quick for us to be up to set ourselves apart from things. But did Jesus do that? How many times was Jesus criticized by the Pharisees for eating with publicans and sinners? Aren't you glad He went to Zacchaeus' house? Even Simon, when Jesus was sitting there, the lady with the alabaster box comes in, breaks it, washes His feet with her hair and her tears. And Simon thinks in his heart, Well, if he knew who that woman was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. But that didn't stop Jesus, did it? Why? Because when he was sent to humanity, he knew the hearts of humanity. Look with me in John chapter 2. Verses 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he need not any testify of man, for he knew what was in man. We have the scripture that reveals to us the condition of every person in the world. I've already mentioned it, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you really need anything else then to motivate us to share the gospel? Really? Do we really need any more persuasion then to tell somebody they need Jesus? We're all sinners. Aren't you glad someone told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad from this pulpit they preach salvation through Christ alone? Aren't you glad you attend a church that not only preaches the Word, but is emphasizing that it's only through Jesus that you're going to get saved? Amen. How much more then do we need to motivate us to tell that person that you work with that doesn't know Christ about Jesus? Because you see, they're already condemned. Verses 18 and 19 of John chapter 3. So it's not up to us to make a condemnation, a word of condemnation. They're already condemned. How much more then do we need? As my Father has sent me, Jesus said, even so send I you. He came as light. He came to humanity. Let's continue on in John chapter 5 and John chapter 8. John 5:19, and then put your finger there. Let's look in John chapter 8. Then Jesus answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Look with me quickly in John chapter 8, in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus came, thirdly, to do the Father's will. Now that's pretty interesting to see in both these places that Jesus said those exact words, I do nothing of myself. God in the flesh. Yet he did exactly what God the Father wanted him to do. He, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Therefore, we as individuals need to do exactly what Jesus wants us to do. So when he said to go and make disciples, or to teach all nations, he's saying, I'm asking you and giving you this to do because I did the same. That's what my Father sent me to do. When we're to preach the gospel to every creature, he's saying, I did that too. Did he not give the word? Did he not visit the lady in Samaria? And in John chapter 4, it says, well, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he knew the Father's will was to have an encounter with one lady at the well. All the people that Jesus healed, all the people that Jesus encountered was because that's what the Father wanted Him to do. How about yourself this morning? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm just wanting you to do, Jesus said, my will. To walk in my way. So that you don't walk in darkness. That you don't walk in obscurity. John 8:12. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, Christians, so many people say, I don't know what God's will is for me. How can I know the will of God for my life? Well, it's quite simple. What did Jesus do? Follow His lead. Follow His example. And start with those things that are very simple to see here in the Scripture. Because you see, we live in a world today that the light of true believers is getting dim. We're living in a world today where the light of true believers is getting dim. And we need folks, and when I say we, the body of Christ needs folks to remember who we're following. Because you see, if the light gets dimmer, it's harder for others to see. Right? Not to see in that area. It's just harder for others to see the light. Are you following me? We could dim the lights here in the auditorium and we could turn them off and there would still be illumination from outside, even though it is cloudy. But if it was dark and we dropped the lights completely, it'd be hard to see inside here, wouldn't it? What about the people across the street, though? If we dimmed the lights and it was dark, they would think, oh, nothing's going on at church. Lights are out. Am I right? If we as believers allow the light in us to dim, because it's getting so obscured with other things of this world, and we're not doing the will of our Savior, and the light's being blocked because of our own desires to follow our own way and not to follow in the light of Christ, then that light that we're supposed to shine to a darkened world is going to be difficult even for someone close by to see. And Jesus has said, I was sent to this world to be a light. See, I was sent to this world to humanity. And I was sent to do the Father's will. Do the same then. Why? If we don't, no one else will. Can you grasp that this morning? Or are they just mere words in your that you're hearing today? As I spoke one time at another church, we can talk about the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, and all the Christians say what? Amen! Jesus is coming. We can talk about the tribulation and the horrors of that. And then most of the time in those types of sermons, when you finish that, talking about the tribulation, we can say, oh, but praise God, the church won't be here. And everybody says what? Still a little weak. Amen! We won't be here! But let me ask you this question. You know the horrors that's going to take place during the tribulation. Has that motivated you to tell someone about Jesus so they don't have to go through it? Because that's what the will of Jesus is for us now. It's not by accident that we live at this time. It's not by accident that we are experiencing what is happening in the world all over at this time. We have been placed at this time to be what Jesus said we should do. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I hope they're not just mere words that you're hearing this morning. But it's grasping your heart to realize that everyone that names the name of Christ here this morning has been sent because Jesus said, I've done it already. And lastly, we could talk about other things, how Jesus was sent. He was sent as a servant. Okay? Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man came not in the world to be ministered, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, that this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he took on flesh and he became a what? Servant. And we could talk about that. We could talk about the fact that also in Christ's life, that as he said, we dread those things that he spoke, he received from the Father to speak. He revealed it to his disciples. Therefore, he said in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because everything that the Father revealed to me, I have revealed unto you. And that's the art of discipleship. But I want to draw your attention to John 18 to finish up this morning. This is Jesus standing before Pilate. He's been betrayed by Judas. He's spent the night with the Sanhedrin, religious rulers. And in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. And then he explains why. Oh, yes, he was born to die. Don't get me wrong. But he says this, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If there's something that we need in this world today, it's people to hear the truth. There's so much disinformation out there. There is so much that is confusing people, in so much that so many people today have the same question that Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? I'm not a C-SPAN person, but every once in a while I watch a clip. And there are questions that get asked the person, a simple yes or no question, and they can't answer it. A simple, even sometimes when they're asked, what is your, would you for the record state your name? And there's this pause. How difficult is it to state your own name? But in this world today, no one, it seems, wants to admit the truth. No one wants to admit their wrongdoing. No one wants to seem, it seems as if no one wants to state factually what happened. Jesus said, I came into this world to bear witness or to bear record of the truth. That's why he said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, thy word, O Lord, is true from the beginning. Christians, if you and I lose the fact that what we have right here in our hands this morning is truth, then let's just stop. Because Jesus, the truth bearer, said, I came into this world to bear witness of the truth. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Don't be afraid to bear witness of the truth. That's why it's so essential to know the Scripture. That's why it's so essential to have this as a priority in your life. Because as things even progress worse until the coming, until the rapture of the church. If we don't stick to what the truth of the Word of God has to say, everything else will just fall away. If you don't adhere to the truth of the Scripture, then you can't make disciples for Christ. If you don't adhere to the truth of the Scripture, you cannot present the gospel. We were missionaries in Honduras for over 5 years. And one time we were in the capital, Sandy and I were. And we met up with a group of young people at an ice cream shop. And they were from the United States. And I said, well, hey, so what are you guys doing here? Oh, we're here doing skits and drama, presenting the gospel. I said, cool, that's awesome. But we're not in our, but they went on to say, but in our presentations, we don't ever mention the name of Jesus. And I said, how can you present the gospel and not mention Jesus? Well, we don't want to offend. Whoa. Are you kidding me? He's the one that came to bear witness of the truth. The truth, as Jesus told the people in John 8, will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is it then that keeps us from stating the truth? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We know that we're to go and make disciples. We know we're to preach the gospel. We know we're to be a witness. But if we don't capture what Jesus said here in John 20, 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you, we will fail at the rest. I'll say it again. If we don't capture the essence and the truth of what Jesus said in John 20, 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you, we will fail at the rest. How is it with you this morning then? Has God spoken to your heart through His Word? You see, for us to go back to Nicaragua, yeah, there's some risk. But we don't view it that way because Jesus was sent to humanity, was He not? To bear witness of the truth, to be a light in the world. So as the Father has sent Jesus, He has sent us to Nicaragua. As the Father has sent Jesus, so He has sent you to where you work, sir, ma'am, young people, where you go to school. Why? Because He wants us to make disciples. He wants us to preach the gospel to every creature. He wants us to announce the message of repentance. Even reconciliation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and following, that we've been giving this message of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors for His cause. But He's given us the task to bear witness of the truth. Truth will reveal the need. All you have to do is state what this truth has to say. Paul, even to the church at Corinth, said, you know, I came to you not with excellency of speech. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. He said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. In fact, he said, I was actually trembling before you. He said, no, I gave you these words not so that your faith would rest or confide in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Folks, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to exhort you this morning to capture, meditate even more on that what Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And be a church in South Riding
that not only is just a light, but a huge illumination of the gospel of Christ in this area. To fulfill what Jesus said to His disciples, as My Father has sent Me, even so send I you.